Time for Friday Money News with Shane Oliver, our go-to Captain Ollie, we call him, Chief Economist with AMP. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Luke. Hope you're well.
I hope you're well too. The markets took a little bit of a hit yesterday, down very early on, slowly kind of tried to claw its way back. I think it's all a lot to do with New York and Washington, and we'll talk about that and American inflation in just a second. But I want to talk to you about the Prime Minister's speech, his vision. Anthony Albanese, he said his vision is for manufacturing here in Australia. And I've read the speech, and I've listened to it, and I've read it again, and I still don't quite understand it. Can you tell me exactly what is he promising? I still don't quite understand the detail in what he's in the point he's trying to make. Can you help me?
I'll try. I think what he's basically saying is he wants more stuff made in Australia.
Duh.
We all want that. And he wants to use government subsidies and other forms of assistance, cheap loans, to make that happen. And they've given the example targeting the production of solar panels, particularly, say, in the Hunter Valley, where coal power stations have closed down. So that makes jobs for those displaced workers. So in many ways, as an economist, I must admit I'm a little bit sceptical here. I love stuff made in Australia. I always bought Holdens. My first car was a foreign car. I didn't like it at all. My second car was a Holden. Fantastic. I still drive a Holden. I was very depressed in 2017 when they shut down. But that was my heart speaking as an economist. I know that they shut down.
It had to happen.
Shut down. It had to happen because everyone was going off and buying cars from somewhere else.
Okay, so some people would say, well, why didn't we whack a massive tariff? I know there was a luxury car tax, but why didn't we whack a massive tariff on any car built overseas?
Well, that sounds good in theory, but the trouble is it just adds to the price of cars. So we end up paying a whole lot more than people in other countries. And the other thing is that if you protect local industry behind tariffs, which I think is what ultimately will happen with these solar panels, to make it efficient, to make it survive on a long-term basis, you're probably going to have to tax imports of solar panels. Otherwise, it won't survive. The problem with that is it made domestic industry fat and lazy because they're protected by these tariff walls. They're not full-blown focused on efficiency because they know that the government will always protect them. And so
what happened at Holden.
That's exactly what happened. To be honest with you, I think that the Holden I drive is fantastic, great car, but Australians were voting with their feet. And as we went through the 60s and 70s, Japanese cars came into our market. They were cheaper, they were more reliable and so on. People were flocking to them, even with the tariffs. The tariffs weren't helping. All that was happening was people just had to pay more for them than they would have otherwise. The government realised, well, this is crazy. We've got to get these tariffs down. And ultimately, that led to a better outcome. I mean, I just worry here that we're going to blow more money after bad. We're just going to repeat the same mistakes that we did after World War II. Sounds nice in theory. Yeah, my heart loves the idea. Mm. My head says, I don't know. How do we know that the government's going to be able to pick the right industries to pump the money into? And I kind of think, well, if other countries are putting trillions of dollars into it, like the US is, we don't have anywhere near the money to match that. So if they're going to subsidise, if their taxpayers want to do that, we should take those cheap products and produce things that we have a comparative advantage in. Yeah. And so I must admit, I'm a little bit sceptical about this and worry that we're just repeating the same industry protectionist mistakes that we had in the post-war period.
The other thing when you start whacking tariffs on things, because that seems to be the easy fix, you know, it makes sense, make overseas goods more expensive so that Australian products are more competitive. However, it's a bit of a dancing game because the moment you start whacking tariffs on another country's products, they'll do the same to you.
And that's precisely right.
And are we prepared to have more tariffs on our beef, our wheat, our lamb, and et cetera? Mind you, it's a lovely idea for us to manufacture our own solar panels because solar panel technology is an Australian invention.
It is, and I think we're way out ahead of any other country with rooftop solar. Australians have more rooftop solar than any other country, so we should have a comparative advantage in it. The trouble is we don't have the same scale You go to China or somewhere, they can produce these things in massive scale. And we can't do that. So therefore, we can't compete with them. If you go back 20, 25 years ago, everyone was into making computer chips. And there was a theory at the time, well, maybe we should do the same thing in Australia. And of course, now computer chips are dirt cheap. So it's not really something you really wanted to get into. And if we had directed all that money in that direction, we probably wouldn't have been able to benefit fully from the massive demand for iron ore that was coming out of China. So these things don't work. And they are fine in theory. If you get into a trade war, let's just whack a tariff on everybody else. They're going to do the same thing to us. We'll end up no better off. It'll just harm our producers who can produce things highly efficiently, like our farmers and miners, at the expense of others. And we all end up paying more.
Shane Oliver is with us, Chief Economist with AMP. Look back at the week's finance. And yesterday, the markets started off pretty bad, clawed its way back. Is this a reflection of what's going on in the United States, not just New York, but also Washington and US inflation?
It certainly is, Luke. What's happened here is that we got some higher than expected inflation numbers in the US. And this was the third month in a row. So when you get one bad month, don't worry about it too much. Second bad month, maybe it'll be a bad, but maybe we'll wait for a third. And then we get a third. And of course, it's bad. Reminds me of what Ulrich Goldfinger said to James Bond. The first time is happenstance. The second time is coincidence. The third time is enemy action.
Yeah.
So the share market fell out of bed. And of course, Goldfinger was threatening to kill James Bond, if you may recall that film. But we've had this third time, so people are starting to worry, well, this is maybe a trend now. US inflation's on the way back up. So US shares fell. We fell as well. We were down at one point, down almost 100 points, but we clawed back, and in the end, we were down something like 35 points or 0.4%. Financials hit pretty hard, property, stocks, health. But interestingly, resources stocks are up. Iron ore prices continued to rise, as did the oil price, and that helped resources stocks. So a bit of a scare about US inflation. Now, of course, I wouldn't get too concerned about this. Canada, their central bank had a meeting overnight, left rates on hold. They're hinting at rate cuts by June because their inflation is surprising on the downside. And similar story coming out of Europe, of course. So other countries are going in a slightly different direction. So it doesn't mean we won't get rate cuts in Australia. I think we will. But it does add to the risk that they're not going to come as early as I was hoping for by the middle of the year. It could be August, September.
All right, quick look at the markets. The Australian dollar.
Aussie dollar, well, it got a bit of a whack after those US inflation numbers, which then led to the expectation maybe the Fed will keep rates higher for longer. So that pushed up the US dollar. And we got pushed back down to around 65 or just above 65 US cents. Finger.
There you go.
Well done.
Shirley Bassey. Shirley Bassey, eh?
She had some of the best. She had three, I think. Diamonds Are Forever.
She had three. Moonbreaker.
Moonbreaker. She sang Moonbreaker.
Look at you.
I'm a bit of a Bond expert. And Diamonds Are Forever is one of my favourites, along with You Only Live Twice. But her voice is just fantastic. It's like a classic Bond voice. When you think of James Bond, you think of Shirley Bassey, or at least I do anyway.
My favourite is Nobody Does It Better, Carly Simon from The Spy Who Loved Me, written by Marvin Hamlisch. There you go.
That's right. He'd had didn't he win an Oscar for... or Academy Award for The Sting. He
played the music. It was Scott Joplin's music. It was the music of Scott Joplin, but it was Marvin Hamlisch that played it. You're 100% correct. Look at you go. Ah, dear. Shane, it's time to head into the weekend.
I'll get out of James Bond film tonight.
You're going to watch Bond tonight, aren't you? You are going to watch. You're going to binge. You're going to binge Bond.
Yeah, Friday night.
Tonight.
Bond night. So that'll be fun.
Chinese, and oh no, you probably should have something Australian. Mind you, the introduction of Chinese food to our cuisine was one of the best things that ever happened, I reckon.
It certainly was. I remember when the Chinese opened. I also remember when McDonald's opened, but I think there was more excitement for some reason around the Chinese, and it revolutionised things.
Didn't it?
Went to Thai, Indian. It was just amazing, and then it all got sort of blended to some degree. So it's led to a far better dining situation in Australia than existed prior to about 1970.
Do you know what's going to come along? Do you know how the markets just collapse when you and I go on holidays?
That's right.
You watch. There is going to be a massive spike on home-delivered Chinese tonight. And if there was video brokers or Blockbuster still going, they would have run out of Bond movies tonight. You watch. This is the influence we have. Shane, I hope you're ready for this. All the Menu Log and Uber Eats people, they are going to be run off their bicycles tonight delivering Chinese. Hey.
That's right.
Have a great weekend.
You too, Luke. I will. I'll tell you which James Bond film I watch.
Oh, I reckon you're going to watch three or four of them. See you, mate.
See you, mate.
There he goes. He's shaken, but not stirred.